All right, we're going to give it another 2 minutes just to wait for everyone who wants to be here, and then we'll get started. Give it another 2 minutes. All right, so we'll get started just to honor people's time. So the topic, I think the title, I gave the title a few weeks ago, so I don't exactly remember. Here's the title: Climbing Higher, Refining Ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah. And really the topic of tonight's shiur has two purposes. The first purpose is to think about steps that we can take in order to kind of allow ourselves to grow and allow ourselves to develop our own thoughts and our own feelings in advance of Kabbalah Satorah. And at the same time, the thought is really to develop a topic, to think about a topic in a significant way, in order to allow whoever's on this call to kind of use a similar methodology, a similar thought process, to kind of teach in their own homes. That was the background of this NCSY series of Shavuos Nights, Bright Lights. And so it's good to see some familiar faces, some unfamiliar faces, and we're gonna get started. Okay, so I'm gonna share my screen. Hopefully that's okay with everyone, and we're gonna start. So I think the first thought in kind of thinking about preparing ourselves for Matan Torah and refining our midot in advance of Matan Torah really comes. The primary source comes from the preparations that Hashem asks Moshe to tell Bnei Yisrael in advance of Kabbalah Satorah. So in Sefer Shemot, we see that Hashem comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, the first source, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, Lech el Ha'am, v'kidashtem hayum u'machar v'kipsu simotam. Hashem comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and says, go to the nation and purify yourselves today and tomorrow and wash your clothes. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hayu Nechonim LaYom HaShlishi, Ki BaYom HaShlishi Yirei Hashem LeInei Kol HaAm Al Har Sinai. And he says, prepare yourselves for the third day, because on the third day, Hashem's going to come down in front of the entire nation on Har Sinai. And so what's really powerful, if we think about it, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Bnei Israel, you're having this big, momentous occasion. Something really big is about to happen in your life. And in order to be ready for that big moment that's going to happen in your life, you need to prepare. You need to think about what it's going to be. You need to think about what you're going to do. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say think about it, but he says take physical preparations in order to prepare yourselves for it. But I think, of course, the extension of that is that, of course, if we're making physical preparations for Matan Torah, for Kabbalah Satorah, then, of course, we also have to do spiritual preparations. We have to think about what mindset should I have as I approach this moment of accepting the Torah of Matan Torah. I'm just going to let a few people in. Okay, welcome. So I think in addition to recognizing that before Kabbalah Torah, Hashem came to Moshe and said, prepare yourselves. There's also a Gemara Masachet Brachot that says, Arba'at Tzrichin Chizuk. There are four things that need like strengthening, that these aren't one-time things that if you master them, now all of a sudden everything is good for the rest of your life, but rather there are four things that need us to strengthen in these areas. And so the Gemara lists these four things, and I think a lot of them are intuitive because in general, when we talk about things that we need to improve on, these are the things that we normally think about. Ve'eluhim Torah, Torah needs to be bolstered. Ma'asim Tovim are good actions. Tfila, working on our prayers, v'terech eretz, and working on our occupation. And so the Gemara says, how do we know that Torah and Masim Tovim need chizuk, need encouragement, need bolstering, need us to work on them? Shene'emar rach chazak ve'amatz me'ud lishmor v'laso kikol haTorah. That in Sefer Yoshua, Hashem tells Yehoshua that you need to chazak ve'amatz, you need to become strong and you need to be courageous. And so the Gemara learns from this idea that chazak refers to Torah, that when it comes to our own experience of accepting Torah, of learning Torah, of practicing Torah, that our Torah needs chizuk, our Torah needs strengthening, our Torah needs bolstering. And so I think one of the main ways that we strengthen, that we bolster our own appreciation of Torah and our own feelings of Torah is to think about it, right? Is to learn about it, is to delve deeper into the topic. And so in addition to preparing for Kabbalah HaTorah, in addition for preparing for accepting the Torah, we need to think about it. We need to say, oh my gosh, I'm having this big moment. I need to take a step back and think about what's about to happen, right? I need to get physically ready. But I also, of course, if I'm getting physically ready, need to get emotionally ready, need to get spiritually ready. And what I think we can learn from the Gemara in addition is that this isn't just something, an approach that we need to have as we approach Kabbalah HaTorah. It's an approach that we need to have throughout our entire life. Our Ba'at Shechin Chizuk, all of these areas are things that we will never master in one setting. There are things that we need to be working on throughout our lives and throughout our experiences. So let's take a step back for a minute and go to a Gemara in Masechta Shabbos. This is probably one of the most fascinating Gemaras I've ever learned in my entire life. And that there was a conversation that Moshe Rabbeinu had with Bnei Yisrael before Hashem gave Moshe the Torah. And in just thinking about kind of our own abilities to teach people in our own houses and thinking about what do we want to share at our meals over the holiday of Shavuos, I think this is something that won't only speak to a certain age range or a certain group of people, but I really think that this Gemara is something that can be shared in a lot of different contexts. We're going to take a step back and delve deeper into this Gemara in order to understand some of the thought processes that we can have as we approach Kabbalah HaTorah, some of the reasons that maybe Hashem gave us the Torah, the things that we have to work on because we recognize that that was the purpose of Hashem giving us the Torah. So here we go, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi said, B'sha'ash ala Moshe lamarom, and the time when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shamayim, Amru malachei asharit lifnei kadosh baruch hu. The angels said to Hashem, Ribono shel olam, God, master of the universe, ma la yilod isha beinenu. Amar lahen lekabel Torah. So when Moshe Rabbeinu went up the mountain to Har Sinai, he got there, and the angels turned to Hashem and they said, why did you let someone who was born of a woman, meaning a human being, why did you let him up here? Why did you let him up into our area? And so Hashem responds to them, and Hashem says, I brought Moshe Rabbeinu up here in order to accept the Torah, to give him the Torah. So what do the angels say? Amru lefanav, they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the angels, Gnuza shegnuza lecha teshame ufishibim v'arba'a dorot kodem shenevra olam atame v'akesh l'idnala basar v'adam. The angels turned to Hashem and said, this hidden treasure that's been hidden for 974 generations before the creation of the world, we're not going to get into exactly what that is. You want to give it to people? I mean, the angels were shocked. The angels were shocked that Hashem wanted to give the Torah to people. The angels said, this precious gift that's so precious to you, you want to give it to human beings? And so there's a conversation in the Gemara, and I excerpted it out, that goes back and forth, where Hashem turns to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hashem actually says to Moshe Rabbeinu, answer the question yourself. Why should I give the Torah to people? And so what we're going to see in this next source, in source number 6, is Moshe Rabbeinu's response to the Malachim, as to why exactly Hashem should give the Torah to people as opposed to leaving it up in Shamayim with the angels. And I think if you were to teach this in your own homes and kind of pose this Gemara to your own homes over the holiday of Shavuos, many people would have different answers. Right? Why did Hashem decide to take the Torah out of Shamayim and to give it to human beings? Why did Hashem not decide to leave the Torah way up in the heavens, where it would have been protected, where it could have been safeguarded by the angels and HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why did Hashem decide to give the Torah to people? So I think that's a very powerful question to phrase and to think about. And what we're going to see right now is some answers in the Gemara. Here we go. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to the angels. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem and says, Maktivba. What's contained in the Torah, right? Moshe's never learned the Torah. He doesn't know what's inside of it. So he turns to Hashem and he says, what's written in the Torah? So Hashem responds, Lo yelecha Elokim acherim. Hashem responds and says, the first thing that's written in the Torah is that you should not have any other gods. Beinu goyim atem shurim she'ovdim avodak glulim. So then Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the angels and says, are you situated amongst other nations that practice avodah zarah? Meaning Moshe Rabbeinu's point is, are you situated amongst temptations that would cause the Torah to give you instructions for how to live your life? Right? Moshe Rabbeinu's turning to the people and saying to the people, saying, sorry, Moshe Rabbeinu is turning to the angels and saying to the angels, do you really need a Torah that tells you not to worship other gods? Are you surrounded by other people that worship other gods? Is the Torah going to serve as an instruction manual for you for how you should live your life? That's the first thing he says. Then Moshe Rabbeinu turns and says, Shuv Maketivba, what else is contained within the Torah? Zachor et Yom HaShabbat LeKadosho. Hashem answers and says that we should remember the Shabbos to honor it. Klum atem osim melacha she'atem tzrichim shvus. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the angels and says, it says that we should rest on Shabbos, that we should remember Shabbos, that we should honor Shabbos. And Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the angels and says, do you do any work that you need rest from? Do you do any work that you need a break from? Meaning, if the Torah is supposed to be an instruction manual for how we're supposed to live our lives, and the Torah is supposed to be something that we focus on about how we are supposed to make choices and things that we're supposed to do, what is the purpose of Shabbos if we don't work on a consistent basis? And I think if we think about our own lives, like my husband and I talk about this a lot, about is Shabbos different during this time period, right? And that very often Sunday looks like Monday and Monday looks like Tuesday and Tuesday looks like Wednesday, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's like this repetitive experience that we go through every single day to some degree. And yet Shabbos is this break where even though we're not necessarily doing things that are so different than we might be doing at this point, in reality, that pause of that everyday life that we go through, that pause to take a step back, that's something that's unique. And Shabbos is significant in many ways because it's when we stop. It's when we stop from our work. So Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the angels and says, why do you need a Torah if you don't have any work that you need to pause from? Shuv Maketivba, Moshe Rabbeinu turns to Hashem and says, what else is written in it? So Hashem responds to him and says the following. Anyone can feel free to pipe in if you have any questions or any comments or things to add. Please feel free to do so. Shuv Maketivba, Lo Tisa. Shuv Maketivba, what else is written in it? Meaning, don't swear. Masau Matanish Beinecha. Moshe Rabbeinu then turns to the angels and says, why might someone swear falsely? Why might someone tell a lie? Somebody might tell a lie for the purpose of business. And so Moshe Rabbeinu turns to the angels and says, do you do any business? Business that you might have to lie about, that you might have to lie to the other angels about, why else would you need the Torah? Again, a few more things, and I think we'll go through all of them a little more quickly next time, but I think they're important to see. Because what Moshe Rabbeinu was really making a point with all of these comments to the Malachim is that the Torah is our instruction manual for life. That the Torah is something that we use in order to understand the choices that we make on a daily basis. Okay, next one. Shuv Maketivba, what else is written? Kavod avicha ve'imecha, that you should honor your father and mother. Ava em yesh lachem, do you have parents? The point being, when you think about angels up in Shemayim, I personally have no idea how angels are created or how angels are born. There's some idea that if you say amen, maybe it creates an angel, right? Something to delve more into. But in general, we know that human beings have parents, whereas angels do not have parents. Right? And so Moshe Rabbeinu turns back to the angels and says, do you have parents to honor? Is that something that you need to do? Is that something that's going to be significant for your life? The next one I think is very, very powerful. Shuv Maketivba. Moshe Rabbeinu turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, what else is contained within the Torah? Lo tirtzach, don't kill. Lo tinaf, don't commit adultery. Lo tignov, don't steal. Yesh beinecha meitzer hara. Do you have a yetzer hara in your mind that we cause you to do these things? Kina yesh beinecha. Do you have any type of jealousy that would cause you to do these things? And I think what's so powerful about this one in particular is this line, kina yesh beinecha. Do you have any jealousy contained within you? Meaning, part of the Torah is to teach us how to deal with our daily experiences, to teach us how to deal on a daily basis with emotions that are innate to human beings. Kina, jealousy, is something that we all have, whether in an extreme extent or in a little bit. It's something that we know that we have to work on. And yet the Torah was given to human beings, Moshe Rabbeinu says, or Moshe Rabbeinu right here is making the case for why the Torah should be given to human beings. And he makes the case it should be given to human beings because we have kina, we possess that negative nida. We have a yetzer hara. We have that thing that causes us to possibly stray off the path. And because we have those things, the Torah allows us to be an instruction manual. The Torah allows us to learn how do we deal with these things. And so the beautiful ending to this Gemara is that the Malachim accept Moshe Rabbeinu's logic. The Malachim say to Moshe Rabbeinu, Miyad hodulo lehakadosh baruch hu. Immediately the Malachim say to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, they agree with him, and they say, Hashem Adoninu ma'adir shimcha v'gomer. They turn to Hakadosh Baruch Hu and say, Hashem, you're right. You're making the right choice. Give the Torah to human beings. Don't keep it up here. They need it more. And so what I think the lesson is from this Gemara that I think is so significant is that the Torah, getting the Torah, Kabbalah's HaTorah, which we're going to experience in 3 days from now, is not meant to be given to us because we're perfect. It's not meant to be given to us because we've got everything under control and we know exactly how we should live our lives and we know exactly what we should do. But rather, the Torah was given to us as an instruction manual for how we should live our lives, for how we should improve as human beings, for how we can make ourselves better. And what I think this Gemara emphasizes is that in every place we turn, there are ways in which the Torah can guide our daily lives, whether it's in our business, whether it's in the experiences we have with our parents, whether it's in the interactions that we have with other people around us. The Torah is meant to be given to people that are imperfect, and that the process of accepting the Torah is also accepting that we as people need to work on ourselves, and that we as people need to refine our character and improve our character, and that we as people have the opportunity to do that and to think about it at this moment of Shavuos. And so what I think we're going to spend the next few minutes doing is going through the Sefer HaChinuch. The Sefer HaChinuch is a Sefer that was written that contains 613 mitzvot. And what I love about the Sefer HaChinuch, I think it's a tool really over this holiday of Shavuos because you can really open up to any of the 613 mitzvot and gain so much from every single one. What the Sefer HaChinuch provides in every mitzvah is what the halachot of that mitzvah is, what the source of that mitzvah is, what the reasons are for that particular mitzvah, and the situations in which that mitzvah applies. And so it's mapped out by Parsha, starts with Bereishis and goes all the way through Vizos HaBracha. Some Parsha would have a lot, some Parsha would have very few. But what I think is so powerful about the Sefer HaChinuch is really this section called the Shorash HaMitzvah, the reason why we have that particular mitzvah. And so what we're going to spend the next few minutes doing is going through the Mishorshei HaMitzvah, the Shorash of the mitzvah, the reasons for some of the most significant mitzvot in the Torah. Namely, the Aseret HaDibrot. And that the Aseret HaDibrot were the 10 that we know were on those luchot that Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu that he was supposed to bring down to the people. That they were the ones that Hashem said to all of Klal Yisrael in a loud voice. The ones that in many ways caused B'nai Yisrael to shake in their seats because they were so significant. And so we're going to spend some time now going through these Mishorshei HaMitzvah in order to understand some of the key fundamentals of Torah, to understand some of the key components that we're supposed to think about when we think about our Torah experience and accepting the Torah upon ourselves, in order to understand some more perspectives on the purpose of having Torah in our life, right? Because the purpose of having Torah in our life, as we said a minute ago, is not for people that are perfect. It's not for people that have everything down pat, that they've mastered everything. But rather, the Torah is an opportunity for us, is a way in which we can work on ourselves in order to have closer relationships with HaKadosh Baruch. So the first mitzvah that we were given in the Aseret HaDibrot is the one where we're told that Hashem is the king of the world, right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem, your God. So the Sefer HaChinuch says a funny line, I think. Shoret HaMitzvah Zo Ein Tzarich Beor. I don't need to explain the reason for this mitzvah. Meaning it should be so obvious to us why this mitzvah is significant. Anyone want to share? Anyone brave enough to pipe in? What do we think the reason is? You might have looked ahead. What do we think the reason is? Why does this mitzvah not need any explanation according to Sefer HaChinuch? Why is this such a fundamental mitzvah? Anyone want to pipe in? Okay, so I'll share. I think the reason it's so fundamental, and I assume some of you are thinking about this, which is that all of our mitzvot are predicated on the belief in God. Right? If we don't believe in God, then why are we doing all of this? Yes, some of these things are reasons that are mitzvot that help us in our interactions with people. But in reality, why do we do the mitzvot? Why do we do Torah? Why do we keep the Torah? Because God gave it to us and we believe in God. So the Sefer HaChinuf says, Shorosh HaMitzvah Zo Ein Tzarich Be'or, it doesn't need an explanation. But then he goes on to explain it. Yadua HaZavar V'Nigle L'Kol. It's revealed to every, Ki HaEmuna HaZom Yisod HaDat. That the belief in God is the basis of our religion. And if you skip down to this bolded over here, E.F. Charliot Avar Biltiza, it's impossible to have anything without this. And so the first thing that I think when we think about refining our character for Kabbalah HaTorah, something that should be on our checklist is, how is our emunah doing? How are we doing in terms of our belief in God? In a time period like this, where so many of us are in our homes, where we might know people that are suffering, I think many of us may have a little bit more of a complicated relationship with God and trying to understand a little bit as to what exactly is going on. But what we see in the Sefer HaChinuch is that belief in God is the foundation of our entire religion. And so the first thing when we think about refining ourselves, working on our midot, preparing ourselves better, the first thing we have to think about is, how is my emunah doing? How am I doing with my belief in God? Because there's nothing else that can be built on top of it if our belief isn't strong. That's number one. What's interesting is that the Sefer HaChinuch for the Shorish of the second mitzvah of the Aseres HaDibros, which is that we should not have other gods, lo yalcha lokim achirim, he says, Shorish mitzvah zo niglev yaduah. Everyone knows this. It's revealed. Everyone knows. And I think it's the same idea, right? If you have other gods, if you possess other gods, that's undermining your emunah. That's undermining your belief. That's undermining our belief that God controls the world and that there is only one God that controls the world. And so I think the second of the Aseret HaDibros, the reason for the second of the Aseret HaDibros connects back to the first, and it's known to all of us. The third one, I think, is very powerful. The third of the Aseret HaDibros we know is Lo Tisatz Shem Hashem Lokech Lashav. You should not say Hashem's name in vain. So what the Sefer HaChinuch comes along and says, what is the reason for that? Ki hakel baruch hu asher b'shamayim mima'al v'kayam la'ad ein kiyum ki kiyumo v'ra'uyu mechayiv alinu b'zachrenu shemo ha'gadol ha'ma'asin v'al diburinu l'zichro b'ima b'ira b'ritat u'b'zaya v'lo ki metalachim m'dimarim b'zivar kal. Why is the third mitzvah that we should not say Hashem's name in vain? Comes along with Sefer HaChinuch and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is master of the whole world. There's no one else like him. And therefore, when we talk about God, our words and our language should reflect that emotional experience that we're having on the inside. The way that we refer to God, the way that we reference God, the way that we talk about God should be reflective of our fear of God, our awe of God, our trembling before God. And I think what what undermines this shorish of the mitzvah, what really stands as the basis for understanding this mitzvah, is that the power of our words is so significant. How do we use our words on a daily basis? First of all, how do we use our words when we talk about God? Does it reflect those emotional feelings that we're having on our inside in a powerful way? Does it reflect those thoughts that we're having? He says, L'bal naskir shema ha-kadosh levatala, so that we don't use God's name in vain, that we don't come across using our words to say something that we don't actually feel or for no reason that we don't really understand. And so I think what's at the foundation of this, and that in many ways, maybe what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to send to us with the third of the Aseret HaDibros, is that your words matter. Your words are important. Your words have value. They have basis in expressing what you're thinking and what you're feeling. So I think on our checklist of kind of refining ourselves before Matan Torah, the second thing that should probably be on our checklist is, how do I use my words? Are my words reflective of the emotions that I'm feeling on the inside? Are my words reflective of God on a daily basis? I know I was talking to someone a few weeks ago about a trend. I don't know if I want to venture into this, but I'll venture into anyway. A trend of certain videos that people sometimes record, right, where they don't even necessarily realize what they're imitating on those videos. Some of you might know my reference, some of you might not. What I'm referring to is some TikTok videos, right, that some people record for whatever purpose, but they don't necessarily always realize the words that they're saying when they're imitating those actions, right? And I think what the Sefer HaChinuch is trying to teach us is that our words really matter and our words are really powerful. And even though we might think, right, some teenagers, not the ones that are on this call, right, but some even little kids sometimes say, like, oh my God, right? And what do we train our little kids to do? We train them to say, oh my gosh. Why? Because there's something about using God in that flippant way that is inappropriate or is incorrect, right? And it gets to the heart of
who is a Jew? A Jew is someone that uses their words properly. So when we think about working on ourselves in advance of Matan Torah, in addition to our emunah, I think the second thing that we work on is our words, is how we speak, not only about how we refer to God, but in general, how do we speak, how do we talk, how do we act? The fourth of the Aseret HaDibro is the one of Shabbos. And we have in Parsha Yitro, right, we have Zachor, and in Sefer Dvarim, we have Shamor. But the Sefer HaChinuch says, what is the purpose of Shabbos? What's the purpose of us thinking about Shabbos and keeping Shabbos? He says it's twofold. He says the purpose is mitoch ma'aseh zeh lezecher gedulat hayom v'nikbav libinu emunu chidush ha'ola. What is the reason for why we keep Shabbos on a weekly basis? Is to instill within us this belief that the world was created by God, that the world was created only by Hashem. That's reason number one. Reason number two is also believing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't, I might have cut it out, is also believing that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And so what I think is really important to recognize here when we talk about Shabbos is that Shabbos is our assertion that we believe that Hashem created the world. And because of that, we stop on a weekly basis to remember that fact that Hashem created the world. Now, what's at the basis of understanding that Hashem created the world? That Hashem is all-powerful, that Hashem is all-knowing, that Hashem is the one that controls everything and has the ability to change something in the instant and has the ability to perform anything within the world. And so I think the third thing that we have to think about when we talk about refining ourselves for Kabbalah Zatorah is that does our Shabbos experience reflect this? We have the opportunity this year, Shabbos coincides with Shavuos, specifically in America. In Israel, it's just an extension of Shavuos. They have a 2-day this year. But in reality, does our experience on Shabbos reflect this? Does our experience on Shabbos stop and instill within it in us? Do we remember Hashem created this entire world? Emunah chidush ha'olam. Does our Shabbos experience reflect that? And so we have the opportunity specifically this year, when we think about accepting the Torah this year, we have the opportunity to really think about the Shabbos. Does my Shabbos experience reflect my belief that God created the world? Number five, and I think this is fundamental. Here is where he says, actually, Zechirat Bo Nes Mitzrayim, that we were Avadim and Hashem took us out, right? So the second, in addition to just having Shabbos reinforce that belief that God created the world, we also recognize that Shabbos is our day of rest, that Hashem saved us from our slavery and allowed us to rest on day seven. Right, and that Hashem didn't take us out of slavery. A lot of people mention this. Hashem didn't take us out of slavery to be free. Hashem took us out of slavery in order to give us the Torah. And the Torah isn't complete freedom. We still have something that binds our lives and gives us rules and structure for our life. But at the same time, the Torah has built in opportunities for us to rest. And so does our Shabbos experience reflect our belief that God created the world? And does our Shabbos experience provide opportunity for us to remember that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim and gave us this time to rest, gave us this time to take a break and to pause? The next one, I think if you're parents, it'll be even more powerful. And I didn't bold anything because I think all of it is so important. And as children, if you're a child in this Zoom call, then I think it'll be important for you also. What is the reason for Kaved et Avicha ve'et Imecha? Mishar shei mitzvah zu, shera'oi lo la'adam shiakir, because it's appropriate for a person to recognize and to return the kindness to someone that's done good for them. And he shouldn't be ungrateful because that's a bad trait in people. And it's a bad trait in front of people, and it's a bad trait in front of God. And so I think when we think about refining our character before Kabbalat HaTorah, one of the things is, do I express a Karas HaTov? Right? I walk down the street, and I'm always impressed by the people that have taken the time to make a little sign for their front door that says thank you. Why? Because so many of us are getting deliveries these days. And do we take a moment to take a step back and say, oh, am I really expressing gratitude to that mailman that's stopping in front of the door to give me my mail? Or that person that might be delivering my groceries or might be providing me with the food that I need? Right, and so I think the next thing on our checklist of refining ourselves before Kabbalah HaTorah that the Sefer HaChinuch emphasizes is, do we express proper gratitude to people? Do we take the time to say thank you? Do we take the time to express our gratitude? Now, of course, the fifth, the Aser Adibrot, is Kabir Avicha Varimecha. And so he elevates this. He says it's not only about basic levels of gratitude. But he says, he should recognize that his father and mother are the reason for why he exists in this world. Therefore, he should give them every amount of honor and respect that he can, because they brought him to the world. And then, so that's level number two, right? Number one, do we work on our gratitude before Kabbalah Satora? Number two, do we express our gratitude to our parents because they are the reasons for why we're in this world? Level three, level three, I'll read it in English. And once he fixes his soul, he will move up from it to recognize the good of God, who is his cause and the cause of all of his ancestors, until the first man, Adam, that took him into the world there and fulfilled his needs every day. And he should think at length about how very fitting it is to be careful in his worship of God. What's the purpose of Kabbid Ravicha Vanimecha? And I think this is the reason so many of us recognize this is the reason that this is on the side of the Aseret Adibrot. That's the side up until this point, all we've really done is things that are between us and God. Right? And the reason that this one, Kabbid Ravicha Vanimecha, is on the side of the experiences between us and God, is because one of the reasons that we practice Kabbid Ravicha Vanimecha is so that ultimately we can use that experience of honoring, of giving gratitude, of expressing our thank you to people in order to allow us to train ourselves to be people that say thank you. Right, I was thinking about this one in particular a lot over the past few days. We got a little Echo Dot. I don't know if anyone knows what that is, but it's this thing from Amazon that you speak to it. Ours is Alexa, right? I think that's everyone's. You say to it, hi, Alexa, or whatever, Alexa, right? And you ask Alexa to do something. So you might say, Alexa, please tell me the weather. Alexa, please play Thank You, Hashem. Alexa, please do this. Right? And I was thinking about this a lot recently because we've been using it more than we normally do in this time period. And we'll ask it to play music and we'll ask it to tell us the weather and whatever it is. And it hit me like a few days ago that the way that I am modeling speaking to Alexa is not good modeling. Because what do I do? I say, Alexa, please turn on Thank You, Hashem. So what am I not modeling for my kids who are listening to me talk to Alexa this way? They don't know that Alexa, I mean, they know that Alexa is a little robot, but in reality, they don't know that Alexa isn't a person on the other side of the thing. I don't even think they fully comprehend what it is. What do they hear? They hear me not saying please, and they hear me not saying thank you. And so what I've tried to do over the past few days actually is model for them, right? Please, Alexa, turn on this. Thank you, Alexa. Not because Alexa, this little Echo robot, cares, but because in reality, we need to train ourselves in order to express gratitude. That the things that we do on a daily basis are opportunities for us to express our gratitude, to work on our experiences. And that ultimately that practice that we do with people, even though it's very much deserving towards the mailman outside and towards our parents, the practice that we do is ultimately supposed to be directed up to God. And that if we don't train ourselves to do it with people, then we're not going to be able to do it with God. And so I think this one in particular is a super important one when we think about refining ourselves before our Kabbalah Satora and thinking about our Kara Satov to people, to our parents, to God, and to thinking about the ways in which we carry that out in our own experience, in our own lives. I'll even say that I think this one, I think this year was supposed to be in some ways things that you can share with people at your table, things that you could talk about with your families. I think this one in particular is an extremely powerful one. To think about when we think about our families, when we think about our experiences. And it's something that I think people of all ages can really relate to. So we take a step back to say thank you. Who in our lives are we not saying thank you to right now? Who in our lives are we not giving gratitude to? And to really take the moments in order to really focus on thinking about that and to thinking about expressing our gratitude. Okay. We're going to transfer now from the ones that are mitzvot bein adam l'makom to mitzvot that are bein adam l'chaviru. The ones that are between us and God to ones that are between us and our fellow man. And I think it's important to recognize that when Hashem gave us the Torah, Hashem didn't have the Aseret Adibrot be only about a relationship between us and God. Hashem made it that it was divided halfway. Half of them are about our relationship with us with God. And half of them are our relationship with other people. And so, as we prepare for Matan Torah, we have to keep in mind the same way that we do, I think, during the month of Elul, As we prepare for Matan Torah, we have to think about that our preparations cannot only be in our experiences and our relationships between us and God, and thinking about accepting the Torah and how it influences my relationship with God. But it also needs to be about us accepting the Torah as a vehicle for improving our relationships with other people. Accepting the Torah as a way in reaffirming our commitment to treating people properly and to treating the people around us properly. So we're going to run through these a little more quickly. Some of them I think are a little more obvious and some of them are a little bit less obvious. The sixth of the Aseret HaDibros is that we should not kill. And so what the Sefer HaChinuch says is that Hashem's purpose in creating the world was so that we could have children, so that we could lifrut vilarabot kidei lishvol lefanav, that we could produce progeny in order that the world become filled. So why is it that Hashem prevented us from killing other people? Which I think is probably fundamental for really around the world, it's a fundamental principle. Why? Sholo nachrivehu biyadinu laharog vilabrit habriyot shehim mishdoral. Because that undermines the fundamental reason for why God created the world. God created the world so the world could be settled. And if we go and we kill other people, what are we in essence doing? We're hurting and harming the people that inhabit the world, that settle the world. And I was thinking about this one, not only in terms of physical killing, because I assume anyone on this call is not planning on going physically killing anyone tomorrow. But there's an idea in Chazal that when we go to kill someone, one of the ways that we could, in theory, kill someone, with air quotes, is we could kill someone with our words, that we could harm someone with the way that we speak to somebody else. And I think when we think about kind of this Shorosh HaMitzvah, and of course it's not really a direct extension, but it just prompted me to think about, that in reality, our words have the potential to harm people in such a way that they won't be productive. That we could undermine somebody's confidence. We could hurt their feelings. We could act in such a way that it won't allow them to be productive human beings. And so I think in addition to thinking about don't kill, which in some ways is, I don't think is necessarily so relevant for all of us, Baruch Hashem, it's not so relevant for all of us. I think an extension of this for us to think about is are my actions ones that support people in settling the world and encouraging them to settle the world? Are my actions ones that prevent people from doing so? The next one is not to commit adultery. And really the main reasons that he provides for why a person should not commit adultery, I think for many of us, that's obvious as well. But what he says is a few different things. The first is he says there's an angle of theft, right? There's an element of stealing, right? There's an element of undermining kind of people's experiences of having a relationship to somebody else and having a relationship to other people. But in addition, what he also says, and there's a lot of reasons here that you can kind of go through at your own time if you would like. What he also says is that it causes kind of the undermining of family life and family structure, right? And that in reality, part of our experiences is to have families and to create families, right? And so what would happen if adultery existed on a wide scale basis? We would have family dynamics that were strange. We would have family dynamics that were not appropriate, that kind of went against Torah values and Torah experiences. And so therefore, I think what the seventh of the Aseret HaDibros reminds us to do, and I think that's what the Sefer HaChinuch is focusing on, is that family is really important. And family is supposed to be strong. And family is supposed to be a focus. And so when we prepare for Kabbalah HaTorah, specifically, I think even in this time period when many of us are with our families more consistently than we normally are, it's an opportunity to think about what is the value of my family? How does my family allow me to be uplifted in my experience? In addition, how do I uplift my own family? How do I cause my family unit to be strong? What are the choices I make in order to really strengthen my family unit, whether I'm a child or whether I'm a parent, whether I'm a spouse, whether I'm a sibling, whether I'm a cousin, whether I'm an aunt, whether I'm an uncle? How do I strengthen my family unit and my family life so that we can be supportive to each other as we enter into this moment of Kabbalah HaTorah? And so I think something that I want to emphasize is that this Shavuos holiday is one that looks different, I think, for most of us than years past. I think in my own experiences, for sure for my high school students that are here, a lot of them, I would go on Shavuos, I would go out and I would learn with my friends, right? I would go out and learn with people my own age. I wouldn't necessarily sit down with my parent and learn. I wouldn't necessarily sit down with my sibling and learn, even though they were there. And I think what the Shavuos allows us the opportunity to do is to learn with people that we wouldn't normally learn with on a regular year. And to recognize that our learning experiences on this given year might look different. We may not be able to stay up all night because it's really hard to stay up all night, possibly when you're in your own home, right? But do we take that time to learn with our families? Because when we learn together with our families, even if it's for an hour, even if it's for 20 minutes, even if it's for 4 hours, when we learn with our family, we're not only allowing ourselves to learn, but we're strengthening our family unit. We're grounding our family unit in that what holds us together, and that what allows us to be strong. And so I think the Shavuos provides us with an opportunity to do kind of the basis of what this do not commit adultery is, which is strengthen your family. Your family should be important. Your family should be strong, right? And one of the ways that we do that, I think, is by learning Torah together and to take the opportunity of the Shavuos in order to really do that. The next is very interesting, is do not steal. He says the root of the commandment is revealed, meaning that we should know exactly why you should not steal. And I think in general, it's because stealing undermines the basis of society. Stealing does not allow us to respect other people's property. And so therefore stealing in many ways is the fundamental experience of saying, I don't have respect for you. I don't have respect for what belongs for you. I'm just going to go and take it. And so I think another thing that we have to think about as we approach Kabbalah Satorah is what does my respect look like vis-a-vis other people? Am I respectful of their property? Am I respectful of who they are? Am I respectful of their personal space? Am I respectful of somebody's sleep? I think all of that has to do with the idea of do not steal is really respect. We're going to move into right now the last two. The last two being that we shouldn't lie. And what the Sefer HaChinuch says, Ki ha-sheker nim'as v'nelach la'ayim kol maskil. Gam bi'a edut emeh ha'olam omeit she'kol dvarav ribu b'nei adam mitbalim be'edut ha'ashem bi'im ken edut sheker siva l'chorban ha'yishuv. He says, in general, so much of our experience with each other is based on the fact that we tell the truth. That if we have an argument with someone, that we're going to tell the truth. That if we go and we say a lie about another person, it can cause the entire society to be destroyed. That arguments are settled by people telling the truth, by people being accurate. And to lie in many ways, say when we just talked about lack of respect undermining society, lie undermines society. And so I hope that many of us don't lie. I'm sure in our lives we have time periods where we do, whether it's a white lie or an extreme lie. But whatever it might be, I think the point in recognizing here is that we have the opportunity with our words to keep society straight, to keep our society high, to keep our society structured, or we have the opportunity, the ability to destroy it. And I think we have to think about our words. We talked about that with the third of Loti Sache Mashem Lokach Lashav. But I think another thing that we have to recognize is that our words don't only have the opportunity to kind of destroy our experience of respect for God, but also has the opportunity to destroy society in the many ways that we can all think of the way that they are. And again, when we're thinking about things that we can share at our own table, things that we can talk about at our own table, I think something we can really focus on this year is what are the ways in which our words impact other people? Are we thinking about the words that we say within our own family units, outside of our own family units? The last one, here we go. The last of the Aseret HaDibrot. The last of the Aseret HaDibrot is one that we talk about is not to be jealous, not to have bad thoughts. And I think for many of us, this is the hardest one, because can we really control our minds to that extent? Can we really control our thoughts to that degree that we don't ever have jealousy for another person? But what he says is that jealousy is the start of a process that ends badly. He says, when you have a jealous thought, it can lead you to want to steal. It can lead you to want to take it by force. It can then lead you to maybe even kill someone. And so I think that's a little not extreme, but I think that doesn't necessarily happen to all of us. But I think what the basis of this one is, the basis of the 10th of the Aseret HaDibrot, is that our minds are the beginning of everything. That the way in which we train our mind to think allows us to either have very negative experiences, to cause bad things to take place, or our mind allows us to grow, to become better people, to work on ourselves, to reach that next level. They talk a lot about, in psychology research, the power of positive thought, the power of being an optimist, the power of thinking a certain way. And so I think this last of the Aseret HaDibrot, what it reminds us is that the basis of our entire experience of accepting the Torah, of keeping the Torah, is that it all starts up here. It all starts with our minds. It all starts with the thoughts that we have. And what I think is so beautiful about the structure of the Aseret HaDibrot is that the first one is also one that starts up here. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Just believe in me, God. What does it end with? Don't be jealous. Also something that's up here. Because in reality, what we recognize in this entire unit of the Aseret HaDibro is that if our minds are not in the place to want to keep the Torah, if our minds are not in the place to want to respect God and respect other people, then our actions are going to follow. And so when we think about refining ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah, as we started this off in the beginning, when we think about refining ourselves for Kabbalah Satorah, it starts up here. It starts with decisions that we make to improve. It starts with a mitzvot that we're going to recommit ourselves to doing. It starts with ways of thinking about the mitzvot and understanding the mitzvot. Reshit Chachma Yiras Hashem, right? We say on the one hand that the beginning of our intellect is Yiras Hashem, is fear of God. Yeah, it starts with our emotions. It starts with the way they feel. We want to feel, we want to do. But then once we do that, we want it to be up here. We want it to be seichel, right? We want our minds to be working in such a way. We said Na'aseh V'Nishma so many years ago that we will do and then we will listen, right? First we'll accept the Torah and then we'll act on the Torah. First we'll act on the Torah and then we'll learn about the Torah. But we accepted it, right? We're keeping it, all of us. That's why you turned up here. And I think the next thing that we have to do is think about it. What's the reason for why I do this? Am I doing it to the best of my capacity? Am I thinking through every element, every pitfall that I might have in order to allow myself to be elevated, in order myself, allow myself to work on myself? And so to kind of conclude this section, and then we'll wrap up very quickly. To conclude this section, I think an opportunity on this Shavuos is to pick mitzvot in the Sefer HaChinuch and try to understand them deeply with the people that sit around your table. There's so much that underlies these Mesharshei HaMitzvah. There's so much, so many values, so many themes, so many ideas that can be found within each and every mitzvah for the reasons for why they do them and the way that they guide our lives. And so I think an opportunity this year, a tool that can be useful for you in your Shavuos experience, is the Sefer HaChinuch. Open it up. What's the reason for why these do the mitzvot? What are the ways in which this mitzvah plays out in daily life? What's the source for this mitzvah? And what are the values that we can take away for the ways in which we can improve ourselves, for the midot that we can work on in order to really grow as people? What I wanted to conclude with is kind of to wrap up in the same vein as we had with the Gemara of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Gemara that we had, that we saw with Moshe Rabbeinu, taught us that the Torah was not given to people because people were perfect. That the Torah was not given to people so that they could have perfect experiences and so that that the Torah didn't anticipate that we were going to be perfect to begin with. The Torah was given to us because it was given to us as human beings, right? And we learned from Har Sinai that Har Sinai was the lowest, that Har Sinai was the lowest mountain. And the reason why the Torah was given on the lowest mountain was because it reflects feelings of anava, feelings of humility, the recognition that compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are not the be-all and end-all of the world. God is God. He is great. He is wonderful. Right? And we as human beings are just trying to slowly inch our way up to be like God. And so just like Har Sinai possessed this quality of recognizing that we're low, not in a low in a bad way, but low in that we have the ability to work on ourselves. We can improve ourselves. We can grow. We're not up here. We're not expected to be the biggest mountain. We're expected to be human beings that work on ourselves, that work on ourselves in order to be able to grow. We'll conclude with a pasuk from Mishlei that says, Kisheva yipol tzadik v'kam, resha'im yishkashlu bara'a. Seven times the righteous man falls and gets up. And what I love about this pasuk is that if you look at this pasuk, it says, Sheva yipol tzadik v'kam. What is a tzaddik? A tzaddik will fall seven times and get back up. A tzaddik isn't the one that doesn't ever make a mistake, that doesn't ever do something wrong. But rather a tzaddik is someone that falls and gets back up. Gets back up each and every time and says to himself, I can improve, I can be better. And so to conclude, the Torah was given to us, as Moshe Rabbeinu, as we learned from Moshe Rabbeinu in the Gemara, the Torah was given to us to be an instruction manual for how we should live our lives. And the mitzvot that we were given are not only practices that we do on a daily basis that structure our lives and give meaning to our lives, but the mitzvot are opportunities for us to think about the larger values that we have, the larger ways that we want our life choices to be guided, not only in a physical sense, but in a mental and emotional sense. And that the way in which we work on understanding those mitzvot is by using our intellect, is by using our emotions to further our intellect, and by really focusing and understanding all of these things. And so as we think about refining ourselves for Kabbalah Sator, we're climbing higher up that mountain. Same way Moshe Rabbeinu did, he climbed all the way up to the Malachim. To think about the choices that we make in our lives that hopefully are ones that prompt growth, that allow us to recognize that we're not perfect and the Torah wasn't given to us that we were perfect, but rather provides us with the opportunity to continue to grow. And so one last thing I want to leave you with, a nice practice that I think can be nice to do with a family, is to think about what's that one mitzvah that I'm going to recommit myself to this holiday? What's that one mitzvah that I'm not perfect at right now? That we're all going to say, that's going to be the one I'm going to work on. I was saying last night to some students that we have 4 months now between between now and Rosh Hashanah. We have a third of the year. What's that mitzvah that I chose way back at Rosh Hashanah time? Have I been doing so good at it? This is our last third. This is the last push that we have before we get to next Rosh Hashanah to recommit ourselves to our mitzvot, to accept the Torah, knowing that God is the one that created the world, and that we can use our experiences to continue to progress, to continue to grow. And Be'ezrat Hashem, as a people, those mitzvot that we do will be a zuchus for all of us, for our families, for our communities, and for the world around us, and that ultimately they should bring Mashiach to the kingdom of Mehenu Be'Aminu. Have a wonderful night, everyone, and a beautiful Kabbalah Satorah. Have a good night.
Thank you.
Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.